ICANN, 46 Beijing, April 8th, 11 a.m., Function Room 6, Roundtable on the ALAC R3 White Paper.
Good morning, everyone. This is the session, the open session on the discussion of the ALAC White Paper on Future Challenges entitled Making ICANN Relevant, Responsive, and Respected. I'm Jean-Jacques Subrenard, co-chairing this meeting with Evan Leibovich, who is next to me. And there are several facilities which are provided this morning. You can participate online and put in your comments, which would be read by Matt Ashtiani from staff. And there is also interpretation here in this room in several languages. And it has been being scribed. So I think that with all those facilities, we do hope to have a wider participation than only those present in this room. This is how Evan and I have planned to conduct this session. First of all, Evan will be giving a brief review of the comments we received during the long period which was open for public comments, and to say in what manner we will react to those various observations, because there was no obligation to automatically integrate into this paper all the remarks or suggestions. And then after that, I will open the floor first with a few comments on two aspects which I think are very important for the future. First is an exchange of views between us on the challenges for the internet and for ICANN, the future challenges, to make sure that in this paper we have drafted, the six co-authors of us have drafted, nothing really important is left out. And the second theme of our discussion will be considering the future challenges you have just outlined or reminded us of, what are the consequences that you see for ICANN in terms of structures and procedures mainly? So we have to work against the backdrop of a really important evolution within ICANN. As you can see from the R3 paper, which was distributed now for several months, it dates back to the 17th of September 2012. And it so happens that the new CEO of ICANN assumed his role officially in early October. And since then, things have been going quite apace, with many, many innovations and many important initiatives taken by the new CEO. So if only for that reason, already there are parts of this paper which are no longer entirely valid, or at least if the reasoning is valid, then some of the recommendations are already achieved or have been achieved. So we will have to take this into account. So that was the backdrop to this morning's session. As you are aware, it is possible to speak in several languages which are provided for by interpreters in the cabins behind me. So please make use of that facility, both in this room and online for remote participation. Now over to you, Evan, for the presentation of the public comments received and your comments on those.
Thanks, Jean-Jacques. This is Evan for the record. We received a total of five comments during the public comment period. One was from the CCNSO. The other one was from members of the non-commercial stakeholders group. There was one submitted by Global Governance. There was one submitted by the Registry Stakeholders Group, and a fourth one from an individual, Trevor Phillips. And another one that was received from the Latin American region, RALO, of at large, Lacrello. And generally speaking, the reception, unfortunately, this report on public comments that you see on the screen is fairly recent. It's going to be made available to everybody who wants it. This will give a summary of the public comments that were received. I'm heartened to say that the response has generally been positive, that people are appreciative of taking the initiative to start to look forward, to start to recommend changes from within. Since the R3 paper was made, we had the WCIT conference late last year that demonstrated that there's other organizations external to ICANN that would also like to see sweeping changes. However, their proposed remedy, at least as was expressed by some of the participants in that conference, were not what I would consider to be optimal, and they certainly do not include having a role for ICANN's own particular brand of multi-stakeholder representation. Our goal here is to try and reform ICANN from within, and the R3 paper tries to call attention to problems that are facing ICANN and global governance, and tries to promote some remedies. Some of the comments that were received, even though they were very supportive, individual organizations had concerns about what we said about their particular area. The CCNSO commentary took issue with the fact that we even made mention of them and has requested us to take out any mention of CCTLDs and the CCNSO from within the white paper. I can give some analysis of that. Frankly, I do not agree with that particular assessment. And frankly, if there is anybody here from the CCNSO or from the CCTLD community, I would like to hear about the objections, and I would also like to engage on finding out why that objection exists and what we can do about it, and also to sort of explain why that was brought in. The, as I recall, the NCSG commentary that came in was also very complimentary of what we were doing, but it also suggests that sweeping changes to the existing policymaking multi-stakeholderism does not undergo massive changes. That it proposing expanded roles for governments was not necessarily something that they liked. And again, we're in a situation where one of the reasons we have this roundtable is to try and engage. I've asked as many people as possible to sit at the front of the table because we hope this to be an interactive session, not the standard kind of workshop that's really a lecture, as tends to happen at ICANN meetings. So, with that having said, we know that we need to make some revisions. As Jean-Jacques has said, looking forward, we not only have to consider these comments, but we also have to consider the changing situation that we face, both with external pressures, such as we saw at the WCIT, as well as some good internal pressures that we see, such as the change of CEO within ICANN and what is widely perceived to be a very good progress in terms of internal reforms that's being brought about by the change in CEO. With that said, Jean-Jacques, would you like to take the mic and help and work forward as we engage moving forward?
Certainly. This is Jean-Jacques Subot now for the transcript record. Back to Evan, because I think you should say a word about the status of the comments received. Okay. What are the obligations or lack of obligations thereon? Because it is a paper by six co-authors, and it is an at-large white paper. So right. You should say something about that.
Sorry. Thank you for pointing that out. This being a formal public comment period, public comment process that was engaged, one of the very few that the at-large community is actually engaged in. We have committed to, once this summary was prepared, to actually prepare a response to it. The response will appear in writing after Beijing, given that this summary was only fairly recently done. One of the outcomes I'm hoping from this meeting is to have some takeaways that will, in fact, help guide the response that we have to this. As I mentioned, unlike some comment periods, we're not obligated to change the document because of the comments we've received. However, we would be very ill-advised if we did not take these into consideration and give reasoned explanations of why we accept or did not accept the recommendations. I can give some personal viewpoints and issues that I think will find their way into the written response. In the case, as I said, for instance, of the CCTLDs, one of the things that that concern the authors greatly about ICANN is the fact that the public understands that ICANN performs a very, very valuable role in providing governance over generic TLDs. However, from the point of view of the end users, the end user does not know the difference between .com and .co. The fact that one is governed by the RAA that ICANN has with registries and registrars, and the other one is governed by a sovereign government, Colombia, that has its own rules and regulations, and that are not subject to ICANN governance. This was a concern to the authors. And in the one line that we put into the R3, we're suggesting that ICANN, if possible, engage in at very least setting some standards of best practices that would encourage not only good practice amongst CCTLDs, but also a level of trust amongst end users, that if they went to a domain, whether it was a two-letter domain or a three-letter domain, in general speaking, the public does not know the difference between them. So if they're going to a .com or a .co, it should not matter to the public whether one is a country and one is a generic, especially in the case of country codes that act like generics, such as .co, .me, and a number of others. So that is the reason why, although we appreciate the comments from the CCNSO, and I would like to engage with them, this is the rationale behind why that comment is in there, and why I'm hesitant to take the advice of the CCNSO to remove all references to CCTLDs from our document. I do believe that ICANN has a role to play, not in trumping sovereign authority over CCTLDs, but in trying to build public trust by at least establishing some best practices for them. Unfortunately, given that we are constrained by the time of this, going into a detailed response for all of the comments is probably beyond what we can do at this meeting, especially if we hope to have some interaction. So we will commit to doing a written response to the summary. The summary itself, as you can see, is available on the screen at the front of the room. It will be made available publicly, and we will commit to doing a written response to these comments in due course. Jean-Jacques?
Thank you, Evan. This is Jean-Jacques Subo now again. Now, before we go into a debate, an analysis of the two items I suggested to start with, which was, first of all, what are the major challenges for the Internet in general? And two, what are the consequences you derive from that analysis or from your analysis for the future of ICANN in terms of structures and processes? So before we do that, I just want to make sure that there is no part of the community represented around this table or online which would have liked to put in a formal comment and for various reasons did not do so. The CCNSO has done that. Is anyone from the CCNSO present here? I see no hands raised, so I guess not. So is anyone keen to make a general comment on the process and on this comment period which was opened on this particular paper before we go into the debate? I see none. So now I will open the floor very broadly, actually, to the two items Evan and I identified as being central to this issue. First, and this may surprise you, we are not talking about ICANN. We're talking about the Internet from the user perspective, from the perspective of the general Internet user. And we would like to know what you think are the probable major developments for the Internet, whether good or bad, whether they be in economic terms or technology or any other aspect you may wish to bring to the fore. And I suggest that we give about 15 minutes to this first item as a debate. Evan was kind enough to say that he would be taking notes of this so that we can give feedback in the next part of our process. So the floor is open for this first item, which is how do you see the major challenges to the Internet in the coming months and years? So, Salanieta Tamaniwa Kaimaru, and then Fatimata Sayasila. And please state your name and your affiliation when you start.
Salanieta Tamaniwa Kaimaru for the transcripts and ALEC. Can you hear me? Just to clarify very quickly, this is in, you're talking about just within the context of ICANN or just globally?
Well, that was the whole trick. That's why you seem surprised, Salanieta, globally. It's not okay. Only about ICANN.
Excellent.
You know, it's not only about what will be the office address of the hub in Singapore for ICANN. No, it's beyond that. For instance, will voice come to a point where it will supplant the keyboard? And what are the impacts for the general user, that kind of thing?
I'll just give you just a quick list on categories, and I can email you the substantive responses later. Firstly is the actual regulation of the Internet and the perceived regulation of the Internet, and also propaganda regarding regulation of the Internet and the controversies around that. The second one is central to global public interest is the issue of legitimacy, particularly in the context of multi-stakeholderism and what that connotes, and a distinction made between that of an institution and that of other external fora. The third one is, in my mind, critical internet resources, particularly in terms of transitioning to IPv6 and the challenges of a developing world. We heard today that there are 560 million. What was it? I can't remember. Internet users. So just the constraint, resource constraints. I'll stop there.
Well, before you stop there, Salianeta, I would invite you to develop at least a little bit two of your themes, which are regulation, why you see that first as a major challenge, and what are the possible implications for the general user, which ALEC purports to represent. And the second part is legitimacy, because I think that we see what you're aiming at, but perhaps it would be necessary to have a slightly more precise definition. As for your third point, which is critical internet resources, especially IPv6, I think we are all up to date on that, so that's okay.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Salnieta Tamanikamur for the transcript. In relation to the first category that I put forward, one of the challenges that the world is seeing, particularly pre-Wicket in Dubai and post-Wicket, is the global turf war between and among stakeholders, especially in the area of internet governance. It was heartwarming to see Fadi Chehadi talk about engaging in those particular forums and that sort of thing. And I think it's very critical, particularly in this season, globally, that all stakeholders, particularly institutions, have clear demarcated roles, because there's a sort of sense of alienation, and so there's anti this, or and so, you know, just moving away from that and moving to And I think in order to address that question, we need to discuss what are perceived regulations, what are threats of regulations, and what's actual propaganda, so that we distill the issues. And I'm happy to send you in a whole email in relation to that. In terms of the second category, what was it that I said? Legitimacy, was it? There's a huge question of legitimacy, particularly as far as global public interest. And you can have this in two categories. One is within the context of ICANN. If at large purports to be the voice of 2-point-something billion end users, then there are questions of issues of representation and that sort of thing. But moving beyond ICANN, moving into other forums, particularly, say, that of the IGF or ISOC, IETF, or ITUT, where standards are being developed, or in ISOC, IETF, and that sort of thing. So in terms of issues of legitimacy, the questions of representation, and representation has to transcend just regional representation, but also it has to be linked to meaningful participation, which and that sort of thing. And I can go further into that in the email. But that's all for now. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Next in the queue, I have Fatimata and then Alan. Fatimata and then...
Thank you. Fatimata Cecilia, for the record. As you're talking about Internet and not ICANN, the major challenge I can see, mainly for developing countries, is access. I mean easy and meaningful access. And when we think about access, we think about mainly two major issues: availability of the infrastructure. I'm thinking about bandwidth. And today we're in the mobile stars, and also regulation. Freedom of access, freedom to communicate using internet. Those are the, this is the main thing, which is access, mainly for developing countries. Thank you.
Okay. Next in the queue is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you, Alan Greenberg. I just wanted to react to one statement that Sala made that I cannot hear without having to, without commenting on it. Sarah made reference to at large being the voice of 2 billion internet users. I believe any time we use terminology akin to that, we are both dreaming and asking to be knocked off at the knees. I believe the terminology we should be using is we represent the interests of the 2 billion internet users. There is no way we could ever claim to represent them, and how is it that we solicit the information from all 2 billion and consolidate it? So I think we really need to be careful in any venue of using the latter term and not the former, at least in my mind. Thank you.
Okay, Alan, thank you. Next, Eduardo Diaz.
Eduardo Diaz, for the record, I will say that one of the challenges in the future for the internet will be with these new top-level domains. There will be so many out there, and that I think at one point, and I agree with some of the statements that Evan said before, that the domains will be irrelevant in the future, because basically you're going to go and search for what you're looking for, and you will get there. So I think one of the things that's going to happen, I foresee this happening, is that there will be a competition out there. When you need a domain name, you will look for the cheapest one, period. You just pick it up, put it in, and then you're on. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Eduardo. Next in the queue is Fouad.
Thank you, Evan. Fouad Bajwa. I'm the co-vice chair of AP Ralo from Pakistan. I think my initial reactions were again, a bit like Ellen's statement to Salah's in response of Salah. We do not represent the users. We can only bring interests to ICANN. And that then brings us to the limitation of our scope as well, that sitting in ICANN and talking about the bottom-up process at ICANN is relevant to ICANN. And when I say scope delimitation, I tend to mean and I tend to raise the issue that ICANN's, look at ICANN's new engagement strategies. What the way it's going to approach its global partnerships and the way it's going to approach intervening into the various regions gives you food for thought and gives you a lot of work. I got the opportunity to work on the Middle Eastern Strategy Working Group, and today we have a meeting in which the presentation is being presented. Shortly, I'll also circulate it on the emailing list, the presentation which is going to happen, because many of us won't be able to make it over there. But you will be amazed to see, Tijani was there with me as well on that working group, that that strategy is spanning across 22 countries. And the new delimitation which has been done by ICANN for that is that Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iran, and then on the other side, Algeria, Morocco, Libya, Egypt, Tunisia, right? These are all part of that strategy. So this strategy is partially linking into South Asia, covers the whole of Middle East, and touches into Northern Africa. So new geographical approach, which is not in the tradition of the geographical delimitation that ICANN is already following, and this is a new approach, gives you the new challenge. We, during the working group, the people from Pakistan, or some of the people from the adjoining countries, we ran to the first blockade. What are we going to call this strategy? We're not the Middle East. Question number one. The Africans are very straight about their choice of being African. The common language is not as common. It's not Arabic for our part of the world. We have Persian, Iran and Afghanistan speaking Persian. And we have like four national languages, right? We speak Urdu, Punjabi, Sindhi, Pashto, Balochi, and these are like very large languages. And we're talking about 180 million people divided in speaking within these languages. So the challenge for us comes down to who's going to serve us. There was a discussion about an RIR for the Middle Eastern region. And we had the RIR, we had RIPE and CC over there, and I had continuous dialogue with them that can this concept actually exist? That a new RIR be decided. And guess what the RIPE NCC people and the other stakeholders said? This has to come up bottom-up demand from the members of the RIRs. And when you look at the membership, they were not even sitting at the table. We didn't have a single ISP sitting at the table. But there was a continuous demand even from the side of UNESCO and other Arabian groups, Middle Eastern groups, that there should be an RIR. In true logic, it's not possible because the demand isn't there. Why would 4,500 members suddenly shift from, out of which only 600 or 400 members are with the RIPE NCC for Middle East? Why would they suddenly shift over from an organization which is already contributing good enough for them to a new system? So the challenges we're facing is, number one, scoping. We're not out there to treat every internet governance issue. There are global settings and there are processes in place, or they are evolving at the moment, or the debates are happening. What happened at the ITU was a very big moment in telecom history. But I would also mark that as a milestone within the evolution of the internet governance or internet public policy discourse, history and future. We have to keep that in mind. The trend you saw, look, this is another divide you can look at. The way our countries think, the people who were signing that IDU, that statement, and the people who walked out, that shows you one of the major challenges. There is no one model that's going to fit them all, number one thing. Number two thing, I will always be, and with my colleagues from Pakistan, be always in a constant struggle to build up that DNS industry in Pakistan, to move from that one registrar to many registrars, from users to understand what their rights in the domain name system are. So the challenge over here is aiming too high, right, number one thing. Number two thing, scoping. Number three thing, look at what ICANN is doing within, and we have to bridge that. Our future evolution strategies should not have closed eyes on that. We need to re-engage with ICANN. If they're delimiting themselves and forming new terminologies for geographic, they call it the Middle East and adjoining countries now. We are not working like that.
Okay, thanks, Fouad. And specifically, your issues about scoping are taken to heart. We're not the IGF, and we shouldn't try to be the IGF. ICANN has a very specific role to play, and regardless of what we do, we're not trying to go into those other territories, I think, and I hope that was made clear in the document itself. Okay, next in the queue is Victor, and then I have Shiva, Izumi, and Holly.
Thank you very much, Ivan. I'm Victor Ndonam from ISOC Cameroon chapter. I will start my comment by quote the Vice President of ISOC, who said yesterday, the internet is not just about ICANN, ISOC, or other I organization. It's about collaboration. So for me, the next challenges we will be facing is to keep the internet unique. One internet, one world, one internet. That will be immense challenges. And this, to face that, we need more collaboration. And for me, the second challenges will be about content. Specifically content, local content from developing world. Because if local content is not developed in those part of the world, I can just say we will be dying. We will not be part of the internet. We will be consuming content from other part of the world. We have to produce more and more people from developing world will come online, and they will need content, local content. And the third one that for me is important also is about security, because the internet basically was developed unsecure because the internet pioneer was excited to be connected each other and share. But today internet is central to our day-to-day life, social, economic, politics. And then the main challenge for the future will be about securing the internet and making it safe for users. So that is, for me, three challenges that will be facing the upcoming years. So thank you.
Thanks, Victor. And in fact, I've got a follow-up question or two for you based on what you were saying. You talked about content. Is there a role for ICANN to play in that? Because traditionally, ICANN has been deliberately trying to stay away from content and maintaining itself as being totally about domain names and registrants and where the location is. There's a concern, and I think I heard that a bit in Fouad's comment about scope, about not trying to get ICANN into areas where it doesn't exactly have core competency. And I'll just add to your comment about security. In the WCIT, we had governments saying, well, in order to do security, we need to do deep packet inspection and we need to anti-spam, which could have been a way to get into other things which we may not consider to be security issues. So I'm just curious to know your views on those kinds of things.
This is Jean-Jacques Chibona. I suggest that we take up Victor's answers and others, and please add Fatimata to the list. When we come to the second theme, which is what consequences do we see possibly for ICANN and other organizations possibly, as mentioned by Victor. So that's the second part. Let's finish this first part. Is there anyone else on this list for the first part about the global issues?
Yes. We'll close the queue at this point. Right now I have on the list, I have Shiva, Izumi, Holly, and Fatimata. Okay, so next is Shiva.
Yeah, I'm Shiva Subramanian from Internet Society India, Chennai, ALS. I want to add to what Alan said about us acting in the best interest of the Internet user and not representing them. So there is one thing that we have to be clear about is that we always say that we act in the best interest of the Internet user or 2 billion users. We gather the issues and then we decide to prioritize, act upon or not act upon an issue, and we decide how to act upon an issue. And this process of decision within the Internet community, there is an element of rough consensus. So while we talk about our role as that of acting in the best interest of the user, we also define or explain how we act upon the issues. Let's define rough consensus in a document and explain how rough consensus works. I think that should clarify a lot of doubts about the way we work. Thank you.
Okay, and the last word on this round goes to Izumi.
Thank you. Izumi is from Tokyo, or Internet Users Network in Tokyo, now ALS. Perhaps in the short run, I see the challenge is a balance. I see the center of gravity of whole ICANN community is shifting into more of the domain name industry, registry and registrars, especially perhaps with the introduction of the new GDLDs, and also some CC space as well. And so that relates to the importance of the definition of the public interest. How do you define that? We may need a clear guidelines what constitutes public interest and what are not inside ICANN context. And maybe the interrelated to the status and operation of the ALAC as an advisory committee and the GAC, another advisory committee, both are more or less claiming to represent or at least input the public interests. So interestingly, the transparency and accountability, as was clearly mentioned this morning by the Vice Minister of China, or Chinese government. So how do you really interpret accountability and transparency in the ICANN context, which also can be accepted by the governments and the public or the end users? Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I would have liked to make some comments myself on this, but for the sake of time, I'll restrict my comments on your comments simply to two or three things. That doesn't mean that all the other comments are not important. We have taken note of them, and you will find them later on in the report on this session. But I would like to take up two things. One is scope. This has been mentioned by several of you. I want to make perfectly clear that neither ALAC nor this small group of co-authors, certainly not, nor anyone in the at-large community purports to represent 2-something billion users. We are perfectly in agreement with Alan and others in saying that it is our duty to defend the interests of. And that's why we introduced a few years ago in the President's Strategy Committee a very strong element centered on the global public interest as a central notion. And that has been taken up, including in the affirmation of commitments, etc., later on. That lesson has been learned. The second thing was pointed out by Fuad, actually. It is the shifting geography. I feel personally very ill at ease with the continued scheme of five geographic regions which do not correspond to either natural boundaries or language boundaries or social or political boundaries. They're just like that. So that has to be revisited very soon. And of course, from the internet user perspective, that is even more important than for the business community or others in the ICANN world. Now I open the floor for the second round of considerations. As I said, considering what you have just pointed out as some of the major trends or problems for the future, what do you see as the likely consequences for ICANN and for the internet structures in general, and therefore on internet governance? And here again, I would emphasize that you are requested to discuss this from the perspective of the general internet user. The floor is open. Could you take note? Who was faster? Was it Salah or was it Fuad?
Okay, we're just checking online. As of right now, there's no comments online. If you are on Adobe Connect and have something to say, please raise your hand on it, and we will make sure you're put in the queue. Right now, and maybe this is a function of my own aging eyes, I have the order of Salah, Victor, and Fuad at this point.
And then
Holly and Fatimata.
Salaniyata Tamaniko Emeru for the transcript. One of the first things that come to mind is some of the pending bills that are currently before Congress in the U.S. That could potentially affect the internet infrastructure pertaining to things like issues of privacy, issues of filtering. As you know, the technical community within ICANN, particularly SSAC, they've put out a couple of papers, not so much I'm not sure whether it was from SSAC, but certainly members of SSAC, particularly in relation to on issues on DNSSEC filtering, that's never going to happen and that sort of thing. But I think there's some question, the issues of privacy, surveillance, issues of access to information without warrants. These are sort of issues that would concern the global public community. That I thought we should factor in. Can email that later to you.
Okay. Next, I have Victor.
Thank you, Evan. Victor Nduna, RSO Cameroon chapter. So my development on the first on the point concerning local content, how I can help, since that his mission is not about content. It's about mainly internet identifier, domain names. Domain name is, for me, the foundation of the online content. When you have to put your content online, put a website online, you need a domain name. And today, from the perspective of developing one, we have near of 1,000 ICANN accredited registrar. And for Africa, we have just 5. And really active, just 4. And from that, you can see how it's difficult for a consumer from Africa to have a domain name. You have to to produce a content, to put your website online, you need a domain name. You will go to a registrar in Europe or in US, which is in another legal content than you. So if you have a problem, you cannot easily deal with that registrar. So for me, I can develop a strategy to have more registrar in other regions of the world, not just in the Western world. And to make that happen, I propose in in Addis that we need another era for developing world, because if you read the era, financial insurance requirement on that era cannot easily be fulfilled by a company from Africa or from other developing country. And when I say challenges will be security, I'm not talking about filtering a content or things like that. During the opening ceremony, we seen the video, the mention of the Internet of Things. So the Internet is evolving. Soon we will have not only people connected, but also things, your appliances, and more. So we need more security measure to be taken. And for me, that security is about securing protocols, not about content.
Excuse me. Yeah. I'm afraid we have to ask those who are intervening to be very brief now, because there are only less than 10 minutes left for the close of the session, and there's a session of another team immediately afterwards at 12 o'clock. So I'm sorry to be so rude, but please bear with that. Evan, have you taken note of other requests to speak?
Yes, I have right now. So I've got Fuad, Holly, Fatimata, and Garth. And we'll probably have to close it at that. And even so, please keep your comments brief so we can wrap this up and perhaps also have some concluding comments. Thanks. Okay, Fuad.
Thank you, Evan. Fuad Bajwa from AP Rallo. One of the things, as part of ICANN's Middle Eastern strategy, is a three-year plan with a one-year action plan. And it was subdivided into three groups: DNS security and stability, domain name industry, and internet governance. There was a fourth one, community engagement, but that was incorporated into internet governance. And if we look at what is being demanded from the grassroots or at the bottom level, is that they want to see changes in accreditation processes. They want reduced fees guarantees. They want the opportunity to include this region's financial capacity in ICANN planning. The consequence of ICANN's current strategies are that there are very few registrants from that part of the world. And that gives you the idea why you don't have participation at the level which is expected from this region, because you don't have the industry. That is why there was a strong emphasis on developing the industry. And I'll just relate to you the metrics which they're looking at in this one line. They want to see an increase in the number of ASCII, CCTLD registrations, ID and CCTLD, Arabic script, ID.
I mean, we've got a
public policy. Restricted to ICANN. Now, my last word is a recognition of what has been achieved since we brought out this paper in September 2012. As I said in opening this session, this corresponded almost with the assumption of duties by Fadi Shehade, who started officially his work only in October 2012. And in a very few short months, he has managed, I think, this is my personal opinion, to change some structures and some processes. That already is a contribution, but I think more importantly, to reestablish a very strong notion of trust and confidence and cooperation, including with those who were pointed out by some members of the community as the enemy, which was totally ridiculous and not acceptable. So he has engaged. And I think that we, in the next phase of our work together on this paper, will have to factor in the progress made, not only the progress which has been announced this morning, but throughout this session in Beijing and in the coming months. So with that, I'd like, in my turn, to thank you all for this active participation. And as I said, the important thing is that this was only one step in the process. We want to continue this with you, and the very next step will be to report back to you and to make a document which will be published elsewhere than ICANN only. But, of course, it will be also on the ICANN website. Thank you very much for your attendance and participation.